This is Sportscaster.com's Open Mic with Johnny Kane on 760 WJR, featuring sports commentary and stories brought to you by the most compelling rising stars in sports broadcasting. Here's your host, Johnny Kane.
Hi, everybody, and welcome once again to Open Mic. It is Wednesday, October the 8th. It's a great week, and it's a great week for a lot of reasons. Because in sports, October is one of those months where you really have a chance to take it all in. Playoffs in Major League Baseball, in my opinion, postseason baseball, the best of all major professional sports, although hockey would be right behind. But playoffs in Major League Baseball upon us right now. We're quarter way into the NFL season. And obviously you have a better sense of where you stand in the NFL. Once you work through 4 or 5 weeks, you kind of see where you can go, what the division might look like, and who the legitimate contenders are. College football, you're starting to see some better matchups, in particular in the Power Four conferences. You know, even here recently, we saw some of the top teams. You know, don't get me started on preseason polls, but, you know, teams like Texas and Penn State, preseason, you put them in the top five, top three, and then you get a quarter of the way into the campaign, and then you say, well, maybe they're not as good as we thought they were going to be. So college football, obviously getting, you know, in full force now. NHL preseason is underway. The NBA preseason is underway. And I know preseason games may not necessarily be appointment viewing, but we as fans, you know, you can glean a lot just by watching because, you know, it's an opportunity to see different pairings. You get to see different individual player development and you kind of set a level of realistic expectations based on the construction of the current roster. You know, preseason, you get an opportunity to play another opponent after going through training camp. You're going one-on-one against yourself throughout, but now you get a chance to see what it looks like in live action against a bona fide roster the other way. And I've covered the NBA since 2015, and the expectations that have been placed on the Pistons this year are as high as I've ever been a part of, and it's well-deserved. You know, you look at what they accomplished last season, obviously ushered in one of the greatest turnarounds in league history, you know, tripling the win total from the previous year. You know, you get to 44 wins. I mean, it was big time. Like, I still think about it often because, you know, the expectations on them going into the year, you know, they'd come off futility, like 14 wins the season before. And there wasn't a lot of expectation going in. So the fact that they were able to earn the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference, push the Knicks to six games in the Eastern Conference playoffs, it was special. You know, and then you say, okay, what do you do from that point forward? Now you set a new baseline. And that'll be kind of the essence of the early part of our show this week because, you know, we want to focus on the NBA because I really feel like the Eastern Conference is wide open this season. And when you look at the Pistons, they didn't make any blockbuster moves in the offseason, but they did improve. And I think one of the shifts we're seeing in particular with how the Pistons are being run is there's an emphasis on steady development within and building a roster with valued rotation players, not necessarily going out and acquiring a superstar scorer or like a big three and then sacrificing quality rotational depth. Detroit has a core it believes in. Yeah, sure, they have an all-star that they're going to build around. You know, he's grown into superstar, Cade Cunningham, franchise player, and he's a franchise player who draws joy, not from just elevating his own game, but he's really good at balancing some of the strengths of the people around him. You know, you balance those strengths with maybe some other weaknesses while you're out on the floor, and that's what makes it such a cool game to watch Cade play. You know, talking to him at Media Day, he said, you know, he gets his thrill of playing basketball that way, connecting with teammates and making different play styles work together. And one of the things that J.B. Bickerstaff, now going into his second season as head coach, you know, he talks about Cade. Yes, every coach would love to have a player of his caliber, but not every superstar level player elevates everybody's game around him. And I'm not just saying that because I get to see Cade Cunningham on a regular basis. Like it is authentic. It is true. And JB said about Cade, you know, he said his best attribute is that he doesn't take opportunity away from anybody else. He creates them. He is a selfless player, like the ultimate selfless player. So I think that's what's going to be exciting this year when you look at some of the new pieces they brought in. Does Cade take his game to another level? Can he take it to another level? Which I think he can. But coming off his first All-Star appearance of a season ago with the healthy roster around him, can that continued development continue to shine in what I think is an open Eastern Conference? Just a couple of guys, again, that we'll look for. Jaden Ivey, limited to just 30 games last year. Remember, had that season-ending injury to his left fibula, broke his leg at a home game on New Year's Day against the Orlando Magic. Had a heck of a recovery throughout the offseason, but he's back at full speed, ready to go. no limitations placed on Jaden Ivey, you know, and heading into year four, you know, it's a big opportunity for him. You know, he was putting together what would have been a career season had he not been limited to just 30 games. Isaiah Stewart, we know he is kind of the heart and soul of what this team's all about, valuable rim protector, embodies the spirit of Detroit, but he missed almost the entirety of that playoff series against the Knicks because he had the knee injury suffered in game one. So that series might have played out a little differently had Isaiah Stewart been healthy throughout. But for the year, Isaiah Stewart had a really, really solid campaign. Jalen Duren, he's coming into year four. JD's another guy that I think that what we'll look for, and it's a typical evolution of a player's game, especially of a big in the NBA. Remember, he was the youngest player drafted when he came out in his draft class, but he's starting to develop more of an offensive game, more of a well-roundedness, more of a mid-range jumper, and he can step out, spread the floor a little bit more than he has in the early part of his career, where really, you know, he got all of his production right there in the painted area. In fact, I think last year he set the field goal percentage mark for the Pistons because all his stuff was right at the rim. But a high efficiency player, obviously. Ron Holland's another guy. You know, the development of his offensive tools, I think, is going to be big as he goes into year two. And then the new acquisitions, Caris LeVert and Duncan Robinson, a couple of Michigan guys. We know Robinson's a bona fide shooter in this league, but he can put it on the floor as well. Caris LeVert, you know, similarly, veteran leadership, played in Cleveland most recently and was coached by J.B. Bickerstaff at an earlier point in his career. But those guys, you know, just being around them, I think they are going to be really important pieces coming off the Pistons bench because, you know, they had a player like Malik Beasley who, you know, set the 3-point record for the Pistons a season ago. That's tough to replace. Beasley being investigated by the league with ties to gambling. So he's a free agent right now. We're not sure where he's going to end up this season, but the Pistons, you know, assuming they won't have that production, went out and got Caris LeVert and Duncan Robinson. So, you know, there's a bunch of guys we could go up and down the roster, but we're excited about where this team could go, what it might look like going into the 2025 season, as again, the NBA preseason is underway. So we'll get into that a little bit more coming up in our next segment. Just for the record, the Pistons currently, they have the fifth best odds to win the Eastern Conference behind Cleveland, New York, Orlando, and Atlanta. But what does the rest of the league look like? In particular, you know, not just the East, but we'll look in the Western Conference as well. And we're going to dive into that here coming up. We'll hear from sportscaster Matt O'Brien, his picks heading into the 2025 NBA season. And we're also going to hear from the new voice of Comerica Park, Zach Linfield. Does some other public address work around the area. You'll definitely recognize the voice, but now you get a chance to put a face with the name. Zach Linfield going to be on the show later today. And we'll also get you our game preview for Drive to the Game. High school football already in week 7, believe it or not. You better believe it because high school football coming our way on Friday night, whether you are ready or not. We are talking NBA in this segment, what I believe is going to be a wide open Eastern Conference and how the Pistons might figure into that. When you look around the league, so we're going to call it same faces, new places, and how that might impact things. Something we'll have to get used to in the early going, seeing a lot of these marquee names wearing different uniforms throughout the course of the season, and just see what that thing's going to look like. Matt O'Brien is a sportscaster who is from the Northeast, absolutely loves the Boston Celtics. He makes it known. His handle, if you want to follow him on social media, is Boston Buckets, but he has his finger on the pulse, all things NBA, and he gives us his expectations heading into the season.
The NBA preseason is back, and here's what you need to be on the lookout for as we head deeper into it. We're not going to be seeing much of our big stars this preseason, as a lot of them are resting for load management. Teams like the Lakers take LeBron James and Luka Doncic and put them off to the side to save them for the regular season. And this is not uncommon around the league, which isn't great for the viewer as the preseason can be seen as a little bit more boring than the regular season. But at the end of the day, it is mostly just for players to get prepared to get back into the swing of things. But we will get to see a little bit of our big stars, and that's really exciting as we have a bunch of stars on brand new teams. There is two players that I think are going to make a huge impact this season, and I think you should look out for them, one of them being Kristaps Porzingis. Now, Porzingis is interesting as his end with the Celtics wasn't the cleanest. In the playoffs, he did come down with an illness and we didn't see a lot of him, and when we did see him, he was not at the peak of his abilities. But I do think he has the potential to be a game changer for the Hawks as they made a few other key acquisitions in free agency. Combining Porzingis with Trae Young just feels like a really good combination together, and I think they definitely have the potential to make a deeper run in the East. But there's a team I like even more in the East, and that's the Orlando Magic. This offseason, they added Desmond Bane to their team, and I think that their starting lineup is super dangerous. Boncaro, Wagner, and Bane is a really great trio. They're going to score a ton of points, and I think they have the potential to be a top three seed in the East this coming season. They're most definitely one of my top teams to watch heading into this preseason, but there's a few others that I think are huge as well. The most obvious for me being the New York Knicks. They look extremely poised under their brand new head coach, Mike Brown, who just replaced Tom Thibodeau. I really do think Thibodeau was not a great fit for this Knicks roster, and I think Mike Brown is going to help revolutionize the offense and turn them into a title-contending team this season. And those two teams are probably my finals matchup, but I do think there's a few other teams that have a chance to make a run. Looking at some teams coming out of the West, I think the Dallas Mavericks are looking really good this season. With rookie Cooper Flagg having a really great summer league, I'm sure he's going to be looking really nice in this NBA preseason, and I think he's going to have a great regular season as well. I expect him to win the Rookie of the Year. Pairing him with Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving is a really nice group. And with other veteran talent like Klay Thompson on the roster, I think they're definitely poised to make a really good playoff run. We also have the Los Angeles Lakers, who I think are at their strongest in years. Obviously, they do have LeBron James, who could be in the last year of his career, but they also have Luka Doncic, one of the game's brightest stars, who looked really good this offseason, and I think he's going to show the league that he still has the potential to be the best player every single year. But they also made a really huge offseason addition in DeAndre Ayton. To acquire a center for them is huge, because that was their biggest lacking point. I do think the Lakers are pretty good this year. I don't know if they're good enough to win it all, but I do think they will make a good run. And then my last team that I really like out of the West is the Houston Rockets. Adding Kevin Durant is no joke. It's always going to make you better. But on top of that, they have a ton of young talent that's coming together really well right now. They looked pretty good last season, and to add Kevin Durant, I think they're only going to get better. And in trading Jalen Green, I honestly feel like that was one of their weakest points on the team. So to replace him with a seasoned veteran like Kevin Durant, this team's going to be dangerous. And there is one more team that I like out of the East that I think a lot of people are sleeping on, and that is the Boston Celtics. Now, obviously their biggest star, Jason Tatum, is hurt. But he's not going to be hurt forever. Tatum's been rehabbing super hard, and he's looking to come back earlier than we think. Some sources say he could be back by March. And don't sleep on the Celtics, because the rest of their roster is still pretty good. Jaylen Brown has the potential to be a top 5 player in the league without Tatum on the court, as he could touch the ball over 100 times a game. They still have players like Derek White. And while their front court doesn't have the biggest of names, I do think that Chris Boucher and Nemi Ikeda are both going to be solid players for the Celtics. And with a young and exciting bench, I really do think this is a team to look out for. So in a whole, we're super excited to have the NBA preseason back, and I think it's going to be another great year for the league.
All right, that was Matt O'Brien. Again, you can find him under the social media handle of Boston Buckets. You know, and I honestly thought that Matty O was going to make it through without plugging his favorite team. But naturally, he put the Celtics in the discussion. But the Pistons, again, I think in the Eastern Conference, when you look at it as a whole, they're going to have an opportunity this year to better what they did a season ago as the sixth seed in the East. The Pistons are actually going to be hosting a Pistons fan preview coming up on Saturday. That is October the 11th at Wayne State Fieldhouse, which is where the G League affiliate, the Motor City Crews, play. Admission to the event is free and open to the public. Doors will open at 11 o'clock. So the event's going to start at noon. Again, that's coming up on Saturday. But that'll be fun. If you want to go out there and see some of the guys, get an opportunity, maybe get some autographs, I encourage everybody to attend, because it's fun to see these guys up close. Now batting number 20, Spencer Torkelson. You ever wonder how you might change your voice if you had a chance to call sports, whether it be a public address announcer or maybe as a play-by-play person? I remember earlier in my career, I used to try to, you know, you drop your voice an octave. It sounds very foreign. And, you know, you're trying to do it like the way that you hear it whenever you walk inside a ballpark or an arena or listening on TV. Not an easy thing to do, but having an opportunity to be a public address announcer, I always thought would be so fun. I guess I did do PA one time. I had a chance to do it one time at my high school just for a brief high school basketball game when I was back home visiting in Delta, Ohio a couple of years ago. But it can be a bit nerve-wracking. Obviously, you want to make sure you have your pronunciations down of all the players that are available. When I get a chance to put on a headset, I get to do play-by-play, which is different from the PA announcer. So the public address announcer would, when you're in the stadium, when you hear that voice, whether it's introducing a player coming to the plate like Torque, or, you know, whether the bucket is made or first down is made, you'll hear that from the public address announcer over the loudspeakers. This year with the Tigers, we had a new voice. His name is Zach Linfield, graduated from the University of Michigan, really good guy. really solid voice, and he is living out the dream. Does play-by-play work, not just at Comerica Park, but at University of Michigan. Also a play-by-play voice for the Michigan Panthers of the USFL. He's living out the dream, and he sat down with our Aiden Novak. Aiden's a sportscaster, graduated from Lake Orion High School. He's a baseball guy, and he sat down with Zach Linfield, and I think you'll enjoy this one.
Hello, everybody. I'm Aiden Novak, and today I'm honored to be sitting down with a rising voice at Comerica Park, the public address announcer for the Detroit Tigers, Zach Linfield. Zach is a lifelong Tigers fan, a University of Michigan graduate, and he brings fresh energy and precision to every game day announcement. Zach, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, Aiden, thanks for having me.
All right, so tell us about how your journey started. When did you first realize you wanted to be a public address announcer, or more broadly, a broadcaster?
I mean, I always had a hankering for it, and there was always an itch growing up as a kid, and I knew that whatever I could do as a sports fan to get a free ticket to a game, that I would take the opportunity, and broadcasting and announcing seemed to be the best way to do it, and to be as close as possible to playing the game without actually lacing them up still. That's kind of how I ended up getting my start was I had to put a football career on the shelf with an injury my senior year in high school. And that's kind of around the time where I really started to pick up the X's and O's of broadcasting and announcing. So picked it up right about there. And then here I am 6 years later now after I started college, and it's going pretty well.
I mean, it's more fun when you just get to talk about the sport too. It's more relaxing. And like you said, you just get to stay involved.
Yeah, it doesn't take as much wear and tear on the body to do what I do.
Exactly. What early experiences or influences pushed you towards this path?
That injury that occurred to me in high school, that really, I still go to physical therapy for it now. I had an injury in my leg that made it really difficult for me to stay on my feet and do as much of a heavy workload as I used to, particularly with being football, baseball, and basketball athlete throughout high school. And I mean, I have to give it to the mentors that I have now that have stuck with me since I was little. Dan Miller with the Lions has always been great. I've always looked up to Dan Dickerson with the Tigers. There's plenty of national guys like Sean McDonald's about to do the Tiger game here on ESPN, and he's a real influence as well. So you just got to try to make connections, and that's only on the play-by-play side. I haven't even started with the PA side of things, but sometimes that group is even tighter. So I think it's really personal influences and the people that I've gotten to meet that have really kind of lit the torch and then let me carry it as an example.
Love that. You grew up a Tigers fan, and even cold called retired PA announcer Bob Virgil's while you were in college. Can you walk us through that moment, what you said, how he responded, and how that conversation impacted your trajectory?
Yeah, you know, it was simply just a cold message. I don't use Facebook, but I opened up Facebook because I was probably like stalking one of the things that my mom said, because I want to make sure that her stories about me are always accurate before she puts them out there to her thousands of Facebook friends. It's crazy. I just looked up Bob's name one time to check in on what he was doing, because I knew that he was no longer with the Tigers. And I always kind of wondered why. Didn't necessarily ask him. I sent out a message to him through Facebook Messenger because his Facebook profile popped up when I typed in his name to Google. And just sent him a message, said, hey, like, you've always been a huge influence to me. You are kind of why I sound the way that I sound. And he got back to me, sent me his phone number, and we had one conversation. And that was all we had ever really talked until I met him in person for the first time at Wayne State, when Michigan played at Wayne State. It's probably my senior year, so 2022. They played like an exhibition there, and I got to meet him. And then the next time I talked to him was after I had gotten the Tigers job, just to let him know that, hey, like, I really followed through on what I told you I was going to try to do.
That's awesome. As the PA announcer, your voice sets tone, clarity, and pacing for the crowd. What are the biggest challenges you face on game day, whether it's dealing with noise, timing, or unexpected changes, and how do you stay calm and ready?
Well, I mean, the unexpected changes are going to happen in anything, right? Like, it's not just me as an announcer, or if I'm doing play-by-play, like, things are going to happen. I laugh about it quite a bit now. It's like, I'm still young, right? Like, the biology of a human being really doesn't finish until technically 25 years old. So my voice still cracks. A lot of it is just making sure that my voice is still ready and prepared. Like, I go through a lot of vocal rest, lots of tea, lots of water, taking it easy, because when your voice eventually does crack on the big microphone in front of 40,000 people, which thankfully it didn't this year, maybe once, I just remember it happening one time in a pregame, and I was like, yeah, that's enough embarrassment for the week. yeah, no, literally, it's perfectly fine to laugh at it because I laughed too afterwards, and so did all my coworkers. So, yeah, I mean, just dealing with unexpected change. Now, I feel like that kind of falls into unexpected change because how do you adapt after you don't make a mistake, but your voice does, because you think at this point that you'd be able to trust it, and then it slaps you across the face and you're like, okay, time to reset.
Yeah, I've felt that too before because I commentate a lot of football games, basketball games. Your voice cracking on the air, it's not a good feeling. It is pretty embarrassing. And it's like,
just keep rolling, man. It's all you can do.
Just keep going with it and then just laugh about it afterwards.
That's right.
So what's your process for preparing for a game? From arriving early to coordinating with the production team, checking pronunciations and rehearsing announcements, any rituals or habits you rely on?
When I get there, so I'm there pretty early for, let's just use Tiger games as an example. Anything I do in play-by-play, I feel like I over-prepare way too much. I never use all the material that I prepare with. I guess that's a sign of I'm doing things right, probably. But in terms of public address for the Tigers, just because that's the most prominent position I have now, I'm there pretty early. First thing I do when I get in there, besides say hello to everybody, I get myself usually two cups of tea, down those, get my voice right. Always go check in most of the time. If it's not a returning team, I'll go check in with the radio crew for the opposing team to make sure that if I don't know who they are, like I'm not going to go ask the Royals team for Bobby Witt Jr. I'm not going to go ask Tom Hamilton with the Guardians for Stephen Kwan's name. Like I'm going to go in there for the new guys that might be in the bullpen that might get just an inning of work late in the game. I play with those guys and I feel like I should know their names pretty well by now. So I do my best with that, but it's just making sure you check off all the boxes. Say hello to the people that you work with every day and foster a good working environment.
So being on the mic at Comerica Park is a high visibility role. What does it mean to you personally, being a Tigers fan and now the voice in the stadium? And how do you hope to leave your mark on this position?
I'd like to answer that second question separately, because in about 50 years, I'd like to see like what was the impact that I had. That's how long I'd hope to be there. But there's really no for sure knowing until that day will come. If that day were to be right now, I'd like to look back and just say, hey, I hope Tigers fans knew that I was simply just one of them with a very large microphone. That's really it. I go to the park every day. I'm essentially just another one of the 40,000 people that show up wearing the old English D and have fun at a baseball game, because that's exactly what it should be. It shouldn't be too stressful. Like, yeah, I stress out about the result of the game because I am a fan, but I'm there to be there for the fan experience. And that's kind of the mark that I'd like to leave with being a Tiger fan and an announcer after all these years.
That's a great way to put it, because it is just fun in the end. Because like, even though you've got that big microphone and everybody hears your voice at the ballpark every single game, it's fun just to be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just be there for the game.
It's a free ticket.
Exactly. And over time, as the game day experience evolves with the technology, fan expectations, in-stadium audio and visuals, how do you see the role of PA announcer evolving? And what changes do you expect or hope to bring?
I mean, I don't foresee the role of a PA announcer ever really revolving too much outside of, I mean, like the ancillary stuff that I'm able to do is like if my co-part, Kara Wolfbauer, who's the incredible host for the Tigers, if she were to ever miss, I get to do the PA and I get to host. So my voice gets no breaks. That part of it's fun. And the stuff that I do here at Michigan is kind of the same. Like I'll play the two-headed role sometimes. And I really enjoy it because I love hosting, but I find more of a home behind the PA mic, which again, comes with time. So I don't really know. It's a good question. How PA could adapt. I guess it's more so just how do I adapt to the different roles that I end up finding myself in, because basketball is so much different than baseball. Baseball is so much different than football. Like my voice is going to sound different no matter what I do. I try to keep it somewhat streamlined. That way, if someone were to go to a Michigan basketball game and then go to the Tigers, they're like, that's the same guy. Like at least you can kind of connect the dots there. So, I mean, I think it's more so you being adaptable than the roles being adaptable.
Right. What's the most memorable moment you've had announcing at Comerica? Whether it be a play, a crowd reaction, or anything that gave you chills?
The first opportunity that I had to do a playoff game at Comerica Park was last year. And I was still living in North Carolina. I had just really become a part of the PA rotation, I guess, at Comerica as they were figuring out the position for this year, 2025. And I couldn't believe when I got the call that they asked me to come up and do the playoffs. And I probably knew that it was because one of my mentors probably couldn't make it. So I was like, I was probably choice number two. But I mean, you, why would you ever say no to a position like that? So that night that they asked me, I drove straight through the night to get to Comerica, and I made the night game the next night. And I'll never forget, for whatever reason, Aiden, it sticks out to me, the announcement before the last batter when I announced Cleveland's catcher, Austin Hedges, because I was a Michigan fan growing up, so Seven Nation Army was a pretty prominent song. And I brought up the idea to the DJ. I said, hey, like, what are we going to play? Like, should we play Seven Nation Army throughout this last at-bat? Now, mind you, this is 45,000 waving orange rally towels and Seven Nation Army, one of my favorite songs at the stadiums, blaring on the PA. And then I get to say is catcher number 27, Austin Hedges. But I'll never forget saying that name at the end of that game, and Tyler Holton struck him out on three pitches. And the roar of the crowd right after that was, that's what you're built for, man. That's why I have this position now, is for moments like that.
I am so glad you said that, because I was at that game. I was there. I remember that moment exactly. The Seven Nation Army, I had my rally towel. That was so electric. I was in the third deck. It was shaking the whole time. I had so much fun. I'm so happy you said that. That was amazing.
I'll never forget it.
Yeah, that was absolutely electric. Well, Zach, thank you so much for your time and walking us through your journey, your craft, and your love for the game. Before we let you go, is there anything you'd like to say to the Tigers fans?
Keep believing, man. Always, always. Never count a team out until all 27 outs are over.
All right, that was Zach Linfield alongside sportscaster Aiden Novak. Zach Linfield living out his dream as being a Michigan guy and getting an opportunity to call Tigers baseball inside Comerica Park. So good stuff there. 2 days from now, we will once again have high school football, where the Trenton Trojans will be taking on the Anderson Titans. Here with a preview of our drive to the game is our host, sportscaster's very own Giovanni Mosheri.
My name is Giovanni Mosheri, your host of Drive to the Game. And if you are surprised, I am as well, that it is already week 7 in the high school football season. And we're coming to the sunset on a great regular season of Michigan high school football, as it has been so far. Hope you guys have been enjoying it here on sportscaster.com along with WJR. This week in week 7, we go to the Downriver League, by far the largest conference that we've seen so far in our coverage of the season. The hosting Trenton Trojans will be doing battle against the visiting Southgate Anderson Titans for about the middle of the pack within this conference, trying to stay alive in their pursuit of a postseason bout. Both teams are no slouch and no stranger to the playoffs, and are looking to get themselves in prime position to return there and make a deep run. We'll get into the matchup here between the Titans and the Trojans next. And we'll start by setting the conference stage for these two teams. In the Downriver League, that consists of 9 teams. That means within the 10-week season that football has, they have been in conference play the whole time. They get only one game a year, pretty much, to venture outside of their conference. So the lay of the land of the conference is, it is Woodhaven and Gibraltar Carlson who sit atop the conference, both undefeated so far this season. 5-0 in conference, 6-0 in overall play. And where our teams find themselves, Trenton is 3-2 in conference, 3-3 overall. They sit at number 3 underneath those two undefeated teams. And we take a couple pegs down to find Southgate Anderson at the 6th place spot in the conference. They are 2-4 in conference play and 2-4 overall as such for the Downriver League. Both of these teams are on some kind of a streak as far as making the playoffs. For Southgate Anderson, it is a recent 3-year streak of making it into the postseason. And as far as the Trenton Trojans, they've been in the playoffs for quite some time now, a multi-year streak of postseason action. However, it is wins in the postseason that they are hungry for. Same case with Southgate Anderson. So it is a pretty even matchup as far as history between the two teams, especially because in their last 4 matchups, they're 2-2 against each other. Now it is Southgate who has won the previous 2 matchups, but the 2 matchups before went towards Trenton as well. So over those 4 years, it's been pretty much even. 19-12 is the overall historical record. Trenton 19 wins, Southgate 12 wins in their historic rivalry in this conference here. We'll break things down more specifically, beginning with Southgate Anderson. So the Anderson Titans currently on a three-year streak of making it to the postseason. They're a bit of a younger team trying to break into that top echelon of the Downriver League. So far this season, it's been a bit of a struggle where it seems like there's two kinds of games that they play where they are either blowouts one way or the other. They've had both this season. But if they're not the extremes, then they're the very closest of games that they tend to play. The key in their matchup against the Trojans is they're going to have to keep it close if their history this season has taught us anything. And the head coach of the Titans is Bobby Martin, a former WSU Wayne State University co-captain of the baseball team in 2005, GLIAC champion. He is their leader, and he brings that championship mentality through his college experience as well as many of his other stops on his way here. They come into this week over a tough loss against top of the league, Gibraltar Carlson, 54-7. Some players to watch for them would be their senior wide receiver and defensive back, Isaiah Davidson, who has reportedly had offers of roster spots from Adrian College as well as Madonna, Calvin, and most likely more to come by the end of this season. In week five, he had a fantastic performance on the defensive side. A forced fumble, a fumble recovery, defensive touchdown, along with 1.5 sacks all the way from the cornerback spot. So he's definitely one to watch out for on defense. But on the other side of that, the flip coin, the wide receiver, number two, senior Zane Winston, who has, from seeing his film on Huddle, a fantastic route runner, very difficult to cover, and he's got great contested hands for those kinds of catches, very dangerous in the red zone. So those are the two players you'll be hearing probably pretty often from our Chris Renwick and our student broadcasters for this matchup down in Trenton. And speaking of Trenton, let's start to cover them. What do the Trojans bring to this matchup? Well, they bring a whole lot worthy of their third place standing. We'll start with the head coaching spot for the Trenton Trojans. Head coach Stephen Voss comes into this one not only as a first-year head coach for the Trojans, but it's his first year as a head coach in any level of high school ball. Now, he's been in plenty of places otherwise, but this is his first time as a head coach. And in the preseason, he's been very candid in saying that being a head coach is a lot more work behind the scenes than he anticipated. And it's a very unique perspective to bring. Yes, being a head coach is extremely difficult, and it is a ton of work, especially on top of the work that he already has. Did you know that he is the director of police and fire for Trenton? This dude is all about his community in every way, shape, or form, and he's got a lot of responsibility. So there's a lot of new faces for the Trenton Trojans. While they return seven starters both on the offense and defensive side, it's the trenches that have needed a complete overhaul this season, which proved to be a very difficult challenge to manage, as many consider the trenches the most important spots for any football team, as they kind of cascade their effect throughout the other positions as you move away from the ball. That's the general philosophy that we have here, so a difficult one to overcome. But so far, they've done well for themselves, especially on the offensive line, for managing their army-like offense. And I don't mean army in a warfare setting. I mean the university. The famous triple option offense is the signature of the Trenton Trojans, and they got the quarterback to make it work. Junior quarterback A.J. Hawkins is his first year at the quarterback spot, and he's had a ton of production. It's especially important for a quarterback in that style of offense. Last week in their game against Taylor, where they won it 48-20, high-scoring offense. In that game, he had 12 carries for 184 yards and 3 touchdowns. And in the air, he was 2 for 72 and a passing touchdown. He's had plenty of invites as a junior for game day experiences at Central Michigan, Eastern, and especially Army. How great is that to have their offense be the one that they model it after? In addition to that, wide receiver slash running back slash defensive back Tyler Crook is going to be a dangerous piece for them as well. In their game against Taylor on the offensive side, they're looking to get back into the playoffs once again like they have been since 2014. Wins in the playoffs, though, is where it comes to be difficult, where they have not won a playoff game since 2022, where they made it to the regional round. So a lot going on in the middle of the Downriver Conference. This battle is going to be one to see who can shift up in the last few games of conference play to set the stage for the playoffs. Where will these teams be, and will they face each other in that opening round? A game like this will be a deciding factor in that. no doubt. And we got the pregame show for you guys at 6:50 exclusively on sportscaster.com as well as our YouTube channel. Before we kick things off to Chris Renwick and our student broadcasters for the 7 p.m. tip-off, you can listen to that on WJR as well as our sportscaster.com platforms. Hope you guys can tune in. My name is Giovanni Moscheri, and I will see you there.
All right, be sure to catch Giovanni and the rest of our sportscaster crew on Friday night right here on WJR. Should be another good high school football matchup. I want to thank Giovanni and look forward to hearing him again on Friday night. Does such a good job setting the table for everything you need to know heading up to game time and kickoff. I also want to thank our other guests we had on the program today, Aiden Novak, who sat down with Zach Linfield, the public address announcer for the Detroit Tigers and other teams around the area. Really good stuff getting to know him a little bit better. I want to thank Matt O'Brien for his insight into the NBA preseason and what that might look like heading into the NBA season as a whole. Exciting time here as we get a little bit deeper into October. Picture starts to look a little bit clearer on a lot of different sports across the landscape. And as always, we thank you for tuning in here on Open Mic every Wednesday night from 8 to 9 o'clock on WJR. We will see you again next week, same time, same place. And until then, Godspeed.